On another note, I am alive. I heard Sister Sandra Collins pray the prayer. All you brought us through the trials and tribulations of 2015. And because it's 2016, the first communion of the year, you ought to be thanking God. Because some of us should have been dead, sleeping in our, but the Lord saw fit to give us another chance. I got another chance, Ro. Robin, I got another, what? I got another chance. Everything that had breath, the Bible says, let it praise the Lord. With everything I got, because he woke me up this morning. Second reason I praise him, said, because he woke me up this morning. Third reason is because he woke me up this morning. Fourth reason he woke me up this morning. Five reasons he woke me up. What about y'all? How many people know on the sixth reason? If he woke you up on the sixth reason, just get up out of your seat. On the seventh reason, if he just woke you up, get up out of your seat. Tell somebody the Lord been good. On the eighth reason, if God woke you up this morning. On the ninth reason, tenth reason, if God has said, God, have you woke me up this morning? He woke me up. He woke me up. Genesis. Yes, sir. Robert, you got a praise spirit I like. Genesis chapter 3. chapter 3, verse 11, verse 12, part 2. Who told you you were naked? The Lord asked. Have you eaten from the tree I warned you about? Verse 12. Yes, Adam admitted. But it was the woman you gave me who brought me some, and I ate it. God bless you. Make me see that. I read it from the word now. I ain't making it up. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Tell your neighbor, right is right. And wrong is wrong. I'm looking at the renowned pastor Joel Osteen.
Oh, yeah.
And he was so inspiring and motivating, and he did so much eisegeting of the text instead of exegeting the text. Until I say, I can't preach like that if I wanted to. See, eisegete is telling you, making it say what you want it to say. Skipping all over to make it look like what you want it to look like. But exegeting is walking the text, dealing with what the text is saying. Is that all right today? Because right is right, wrong is wrong. To begin with, brothers and sisters, Christian friends, well-wishers and saints of God, let's have a recap of the facts while reviewing real life truths. And then finally, let's have a recapitulation of the details surrounding the Genesis story. Y'all got your paper and pencil? Y'all strapped up? Number one, the serpent deceived Eve by calling Almighty God a lie. That should have got your nerves stirred right there. Number two, Adam was right there and could have told the snake to shut up and get out the garden and don't come back. Y'all ain't saying amen right there. Gave away his authority. Number three, Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And there are two trees. Number four, Adam and Eve, as a result of eating from the forbidden tree, discovered that they were naked and sewed fig leaves to hide their nakedness. And the story continues in verse 8. Somebody say, preach, Rev. God appeared to Adam and Eve by assuming a temporary body that veiled his glory. Listen to me, saints. God had to assume a temporary body to veil his glory because we can't take the glory of God face to face. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Moses had to see the backside of God. Y'all ain't helping me here. The Bible says that God is walking through the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening. It's in your Bible? A theologian said that this is evidence that Jesus the Christ was already around the scene from the beginning. The incarnate deity of Christ has been used many times throughout the Bible. And this is the second mentioning of Jesus as a part of the Trinity, but it's the first actual physical appearance that the Bible gives reference to. I know you've heard that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, because there was no room for him in the end.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But the truth of the matter is that Jesus made multiple appearances on planet Earth before the nativity scene ever took place in Bethlehem.
Yes,
God revealed himself to mankind through the personality of Jesus Christ. And if you give me a minute, it's got over 1,000 references, but I only chose three. Somebody say, thank God.
Yeah.
Number one, Jesus appeared to Abraham and told him that he was going to have a baby in his old age, and his wife Sarah was listening, and Sarah was old and past childbearing ages, and she laughed at God. God told Abraham, you go back and tell I heard a laugh. Then the famous statement came to be, is there anything too hard for God? Tell your neighbor, I don't care what you're going through. There's nothing too hard for God. Then there was another time when Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs, wrestled with an angel all night long. And in essence, Jacob said to Jesus, I won't turn you loose until you bless me. Tell your neighbor, don't turn him loose until you get what you came for. Then the third time, Jesus went in the midst of a fiery furnace just to save three Hebrew boys. Y'all know them, don't you? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He said, well, did we put three men in? But I see four men in there. One of them looked like the son of the true and living God. How am I doing, y'all? So the Bible tells us in Genesis 3 and 10 that Adam and Eve are hiding from God because they heard God coming through the Garden of Eden. And have you noticed that nobody in their right mind exposes their own sin? I'm going somewhere with you now. It's human nature and self-preservation to cover up our sin. Y'all been mighty quiet in here now. I didn't follow you around last night. I don't know what you did. But can I share with you, God sees everything.
Yes.
He sits up high.
Thank you.
And he looks down low.
Yes.
And the Bible tells us that God has consequences for our actions.
Yes.
He said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Because right is right and wrong is wrong. Listen to me. Many times we've messed up, slipped up, slopped up, doped up, gambled up, slid down and fell down, looking down our bodies, and we try to hide from God. But right is right, and wrong is wrong. The theologian said jokingly something that had a great truth to it. When I saw this, I couldn't put it down. He said, sinners can't find God for the same reason criminals can't find the policeman. Y'all ain't got to say amen. But I mean, no, 50. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. And it's the same thing in the scripture. Adam's relationship with God was tainted. Adam didn't want God to see his exposed nakedness, his exposed sinfulness, his exposed wickedness, his exposed sinisterism. And today we don't want God to see our sins exposed either. But this is Communion Sunday. Come on, say amen, somebody. Communion is always about examining yourself. Come on, somebody say amen. Because right is right. Good thing about the Bible is that the New Testament gives us a biblical application that still gives us hope, because otherwise everybody will bust hell wide open. Amen. Come on, say amen. John, 1 John 2:1-2 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. How am I doing, y'all? If you don't know where you stand, go to that scripture there. It'll keep you intact. Let's read the text again. Let's read the text again. The Bible says in Genesis 3:10, and Adam replied, I heard you coming and I didn't want you to see me naked, so I hid. And I say this before I move on. Brothers and sisters, it's just better to come clean with God. Just come clean with him. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, just come clean with him. It's better off to just come clean. He'll forgive you if you come clean. Verse 11. Who told you you were naked? The Lord God said, have you eaten off the fruit from the tree I warned you about? Yes, Adam admitted. But it was the woman who gave me, who brought me some and I ate it. Tell your neighbor, you better come clean. And don't be pointing at somebody because you think you got something. Point at you, do. Yeah. Point at me. I know I got something. Yeah. But look, Adam threw Eve under the bus. Yes, he did. Yeah. He threw her under, not put her, he threw her under the bus. Listen to the conversation in 2016 from that perspective. Adam, who told you you was naked? Because the only way you know you was naked, boy, you had to have eaten off the tree of knowledge and of good and of evil. Man, Adam-ish, first man, didn't I tell you not to eat off that tree? Now, didn't I tell you don't eat off it? Adam said, yes, sir. It is that woman you gave me. She made me do it. I'm the man in my house. I run everything. The washing machine. The lawnmower. The weed eater. My mouth. And they still do what they want. You ain't got to say, man, I'm talking for myself here. But I tell you this, every tub sits on his own body. God is speaking. He speaks again. He turns from Adam and starts addressing Eve. Genesis 3:13. Then the Lord asked the woman, how could you do such a thing? Eve. And Eve said, the serpent tricked me. He tricked me, though. Now, right there, both of them are wrong. But I can't fault them too much. Because mortal man, get me good right here, don't you miss it. Mortal man cannot combat the spiritual world all alone. Can I help you here?
That's good.
Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil is out to trick you. Tell your neighbor, he's trying to trick you. You know why? Because he came to steal, to kill, and... But Jesus said, I come that you have life, and you have it more abundantly. They were tricked. They were bamboozled. And they had unholy help. I want to tell you something. I live by this. My grandfather always told me, if you have witnesses around, when you doing wrong, they gonna tell it. In other words, if you mess up, don't drag everybody else in your mess. Y'all ain't saying amen in here. Take responsibility for your own action. How am I doing, y'all? Because right is right, wrong is still wrong. God is speaking because we still have not dealt with the main instigator of the story, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the dragon, the serpent, the snake. Verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent. Am I walking the text? Yes. The Lord God said to the serpent, this is your punishment. You are singled out from among all domestic and wild animals of the whole earth to be cursed. You shall grovel in the dust as long as you live, crawling along on your belly. Now, research suggests, yes, sir, that there are consequences for your actions. Research tells us that maybe the creature was able to stand upright or even to crawl on all four legs. Either case, God humiliated the serpent by putting him in the dust. Yes, y'all heard the cliche, another one bites. Y'all ain't that holy, huh? Everybody heard of that. Another one bites the dust. God cursed the serpent and the ground. Read the text. But God didn't curse Adam and Eve. Tell your neighbor, thank God. Thank God he didn't curse me. But watch this now. Pay close attention to the word right here. Verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise and tread your head under his foot. And you will lie in wait and bruise his heel. In other words, verse 15 gives me the opportunity to cut a path to Calvary. Now I'm talking about homiletics now. Are y'all with me here? See, homiletics tell you I don't care what you're talking about. Cut a path to Calvary, because without Calvary, none of us will make it. God's word to the devil, to old Lucifer, in 3:15, are called the proto-evangelism. Proto-evangelism. Proto-evangelism is very important because proto-evangelism means the first gospel. Everybody say first gospel. This is the first announcement of the coming of Jesus, our Messiah, our kinsman's redeemer, that's recorded in the Bible. Genesis 3:15. Right. Y'all hold that, write that down, and make some notes about it. Brothers and sisters, it says, 15, from another translation, from now on you and the woman will be enemies, and all your offspring and hers, and you will strike his heel, but he will crush your head. The scripture tells us about the battle of good and evil, the battle of right and wrong, the battle of righteous and wicked from Genesis all the way to Revelation. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. I'm working here, y'all. The Bible says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, if you got Jesus on you, the devil coming after you. Come on, say amen. And I'm going to put something else that I didn't write down. If the devil ain't coming after you, he already got you. Revelations 3, 13 and 8 says, and all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay homage. Everyone whose names has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. Before the beginning ever began, Jesus already died for us. Y'all missed that right there. I'm just about through. But before I cut a path to Calvary, in verse 15, let's hear the whole conclusion of the matter on right and wrong. Is that all right, y'all? Y'all know I can't move on until I finish this thing. Huh? I'm under orders here because, number one, it said, Eve has to bear children in pain, and every woman from now on throughout mortality has to go through labor pain. Y'all didn't say amen right there.
Amen.
Number two, I'm doing it now. Number two, Adam has to work the ground from the sweat of his brow, and it's his responsibility to take care of his family. In other words, if Cheryl said tomorrow, I ain't going to work no more. I got to make sure the bill's paid. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Number three. I hope you don't do that, baby. Make me say something that ain't right. Number three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost realizes that mankind has stumbled across the forbidden fruit, and he has to ban man from the Garden of Eden. Number four, we discovered that there are two trees that were forbidden for mankind to eat of: the tree of knowledge and good and evil, and then the tree of life. Number five, last but not least, and perhaps the most important point, I learned something, and I thought about it long and hard, that if Adam and Eve hadn't eaten off the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, that they would have lived forever in their mortal bodies. But I found out something, that God never meant for mankind to live in a world of mortality forever. That's why the Bible tells you, it is appointed unto man once to die. Y'all ain't saying amen again. And then after that, the judgment. It wasn't never meant for you to stay on this earth. So, you know, I say this in funerals all the time. I ain't write this down, but you ought to have your business in order. Because one thing for sure, you were born and you are going to die. You're going to die now. You're around here like you're going to be here forever. You got to make sure everything is in order. You got to make sure you're right with God. You have a right relationship with the Master. Y'all all right in here? How can I prove it? Can I prove it to you in 1 Corinthians 15 and 50? Says, and I'm guessing I'm getting ready to close here, Robert. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither do corruption inherit incorruption. Can I tell you that I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? Whatever you got down here, you can't take it with you. God said in Genesis 3, 22 through 24, then the Lord said, now that man has become as we are, knowing good from bad, what if he eats the fruit of the tree of life and lives forever? As mortals, we cannot be connected to eternal life. So verse 23 says that the Lord God banished man from the Garden of Eden and sent him out to form the ground. Yeah. Then the Bible said, thus said the Lord, that God expelled him and placed my angel at the east of the Garden of Eden. They had flaming swords to guard the entryway to the tree of life. And the next time that we have anything that says you have a right to the tree of life is when Jesus was hung upon the cross. I wish I had a witness in here, because one Friday they took my Lord and your God and they led him on up the Calvary's hill. He said, anybody know the story in here? Because I heard that they took my Lord, they stretched him wide, and they hung him up high. They nailed his hand and riveted his feet. And I heard that he hung from the sixth to the ninth hour for your sins and mine. He said to him, tell your neighbor,
nobody do me like the Lord.
Can't nobody do me like the Lord.
Bless you.